We know that sometimes ends lead to new beginnings. You know, think of an end that I think most of us are very anxiously looking forward to. And that's the end of this 2020 calendar year. I think we all just want to put this thing behind us and forget it ever existed. But we're approaching another end, actually the end of this week. This coming week is the end of a liturgical year, a liturgical cycle where we look at our Lord's life and teachings. And every year we go through these cycle where we revisit that life and teaching. And the end of a liturgical year, or calendar, liturgical season, as in the season of ordinary time. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of a new liturgical season, new liturgical year. And of course, we have the end of this life. Our death is the beginning of the next life, the life in eternity. So we have all these ends that lead to beginnings. And I think one thing we understand when we have these ends that lead to new beginnings is it's a time for us to reflect on what's important. How often do we do that at the end of a calendar year where we do our New Year's resolutions? What are we going to try to do different in our lives, differently next year? What are we going to change in our lives for the next calendar year? And at this time where we end a liturgical year, the cycle of looking at our Lord's life and ministry, we get reminded of what's important. And what our Lord tells us is important is serving Him as King. Serving our Lord as King. This feast we celebrate today is the feast of Christ the King. And it's a reminder for us that we as Christians are in service to a king. Now, here in the United States, we don't really know what that's like. We don't have a king. In fact, our country was founded, about 230, 240 years ago with the express purpose of kicking a king out of here. You know, we didn't want to be in service of a king. We don't pledge allegiance to a king. Now, we do pledge allegiance to the country through the Pledge of Allegiance before the flag, but that's that we are citizens of this country. But we don't pledge allegiance to the president, whether it's the one currently, the one in the past, the one in the future, whether you like any of them or not. We don't pledge allegiance to them. We don't pledge allegiance to our politicians. We don't pledge allegiance to our government officials. So we don't understand what it means to have a king over us. And it means ultimately to serve that king. So how do we serve our Lord as our king? Well, we serve him. He tells us, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. We serve our Lord by serving others, by serving those in need. Or as we commonly refer to it in the church, doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Now, the corporal works of mercy, the physical works of mercy, if you will, our Lord actually lists for us. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. So if we are to serve our Lord as King, that's what we need to do. We need to reach out to those in need. We need to reach out to those who are hungry and thirsty and ill and so on, and provide care for them. To serve our King means to be self-giving, not self-serving. And that's the challenge I think we run into, is we tend to get caught up in our daily lives and everything that we want. And we miss that as Christians, as baptized Christians, we are baptized into this kingdom. And that kingdom calls us to serve the King. So we serve Christ by serving others, by going out and giving of ourselves for the needs of others instead of our own. It's this image of the sheep being rescued, you know, going out and finding the lost sheep and bringing them in. Now, of course, the first reading talks about God himself, the Heavenly Father, bringing them in. But how does he do that? How does God bring in the lost sheep? Us. All of us in here. We are called to be the tools, if you will, the workers who help to rescue the lost sheep, to bring them in to the fold. Because we are reminded that at the end times, whether it is the end of our life or the end of all time when our Lord returns, there will be a judgment. And that is one of the things that kings do, is they're the supreme judge. Most kingdoms don't have a supreme court that is the final say. You know, and obviously in our country, the president isn't the final say as much as many of them thought they were. There's a Supreme Court. And when it comes to laws, many times the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what that law means and whether or not that law is constitutional. Well, in a kingdom, even if he has a high court, he can overrule the high court. He can just say, nah, I don't care about that. So we have a king who is our ultimate judge. He's the one that is going to separate us whether or not we lived our lives in service of him by serving others. That's this image of separating the sheep and the goats. The sheep are the ones who followed our Lord and did his will, who served others, served him by serving others. The goats are those who did not serve our Lord. They're the ones who served themselves. They were selfish. They knew somebody was hungry, but they didn't feed him. They knew somebody was in jail and needed ministering, and they didn't go to him, or ill, or whatever. All these works of mercy. So the challenge for us is, we need to be doing these works of mercy now, so that we are ready when that time comes, when we hit that ultimate end and face the ultimate judge. That we are ready to enter into the kingdom of heaven, so that we may hear the words that our Lord says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."